Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Number one, the belt of contention. Number two, the belt of connection. Number three, the belt of conviction. And number four, the belt of consecration. If you met Russell Crowe today, he would be a lot larger, a lot older, and a lot grayer than he was in 2000, 19 years ago. When starring in the film The Gladiator as Maximus Decimus Meridius, the general of the Roman army fighting in Germanica, the loyal servant of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius and the hated enemy of Commodus, you would have found that he was wearing the armor of a Roman general. And that particular, that's not the right picture, but that particular uniform which he wore was voted the best costume in the best film with the best actor and the best visual effects. And such was the picture that it earned him $487 million. Unbelievable. Imagine a Roman soldier with his helmet, with his breastplate, with his belt, with his boots, with his sword. Can you imagine? I remind you that the Apostle Paul was under Roman guard, trained, watched over, looked at, noted by a Roman soldier to whom he was chained. Think about that. So he had a perfect visual aid. When he wrote to the Ephesians, he reminded the Ephesians who were in this occult city, who worshipped the dark side, of the armor of a Roman soldier. And he put it in this order: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of gospel peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the weapon of all prayer. Now, some of you will know the old King James Version, which said this: have your loins girt about with truth. Some of you don't even know what loins are. Actually, this is a true story. James I was so impressed with some roast loin that he took out his sword one day and knighted it and said, "Arise, sirloin." And that's where we get sirloin from. Well, the loins really are the area around the waist. Now, some of you go to the gym and you find that they will have on a belt round their waist which will support them right to the very core of their being, because the core of your being is the core of your strength. And so, have your loins girt about with truth. The ESV says, therefore, stand having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, I want you to come with me. We're going down to speak. And we're going into the park there, and we're going into next. And you will find a whole rack of belts just like this. Different colors, different lengths, with different buckles. Do you know what they are? They are a fashion accessory. But I want to remind you that the Apostle Paul, when he talks about fastening on the belt of truth, He is not talking about a fashion accessory. He is talking about an essential, a vital piece of the Roman uniform and a vital piece used in the uniform when engaging the enemy. And so as we come to this belt of truth in the war of faith, I want to remind you first of all that this is a belt of contention. Remember what we've been learning in Ephesians chapter 6, when it comes, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. There is a wily, scheming, deceitful enemy of our souls. He is the essence of all evil. He is called the devil. What's more, we are told, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And I remind you that when the Apostle Paul wrote his second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 4, he said this, "We do not fight against flesh and blood." No. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I remind you, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, this is what he said in John chapter 8. Speaking to the Pharisees, he said this, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do the Father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And when we put on and fasten on the belt of truth, it is the belt of contention. We are getting ready for a fight. We are preparing ourselves to do battle. When Peter wrote, he said, "The enemy of our souls is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." He's described elsewhere as our adversary, the one who is against us. And I want to remind you that there is a real, a ruthless, and a relentless enemy of our souls. Implacable in his hatred and in his opposition and in his determination to destroy any and every Christian man, woman, young person, boy or girl. And we are involved in a war. And it's no easy war. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. We must not take this fight lightly. And we must be dressed properly. And we must have on the belt of truth. Why? Because as we've just read, the enemy of our souls is a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. He is deceitful. He deceived Adam and Eve. He has been deceiving down the ages. He deceives men and women today. And this is a belt of contention because it's got to be worn for war. And the way we oppose the opponent and enemy of our souls is by the truth. The truth as it's found in Jesus. The truth as it's found in Scripture. The truth as we speak the truth against him. So this is a belt of contention, for you and I are waging war against the enemy of our souls. Number two, this is a belt of connection. A belt of connection. It's worn for stability. It's worn for mobility. It's worn for flexibility. And it's worn for liberty. I remind you that the Roman soldier would have on a long, thick gown. And as he was getting dressed for battle, he would roll that gown up, tuck it underneath, away from his legs so it will give him freedom of movement, take the belt and fasten this sash around him. And not only did the belt sometimes just go around his waist, but often connected to that belt would be a strap that would go around connecting the breastplate, connecting other parts of his uniform as he's dressed for battle. And so that would make him free and stable. When he came to fight, he could move about strongly, quickly. He could attack the enemy. He could be mobile. And that was important. He was free to fight. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said again to the religious community? He said this, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He's speaking to the Pharisees, but the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ are listening in, and they are taking note. He makes it plain that if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciple, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. There's freedom. There is liberty. He goes on to say, if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. And here is this belt of connection. Absolutely essential. In the battle against the enemy of our souls. I don't know if you remember. Here is the day of the Passover. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. Do you remember the story? God has sent the plagues. Now the angel of death is about to come upon Egypt. Remember how God's people are told to kill a lamb without blemish, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. Remember that. Then they are to roast the lamb. Then they are told to eat the lamb standing up. And then they are told this. Eat with your belt fastened, with your sandals on your feet, and with your staff in your hand. In other words, you tuck yourself in, you become ready to move, to go on the move. In this case, they were going to escape from their enemy. But this belt of connection connects the armor together, grants to the soldier stability, mobility, flexibility, and freedom. There's no flapping. There's no hindering. There's no slowing down. There's no slipping up. And I remind you, in the battle against the enemy of our souls, lies, deceit, white lies, half-truths, hyperbole, exaggerated speech slows us down in the battle against the foe, who is the father of all lies. Now, I'm conscious of the fact that we don't often look at a Roman soldier. But let me tell you something you do know about, most of you. Something I'm interested in, and it's football. Have you ever noticed when Match of the Day comes on? Have you ever noticed how they contrast the old days with today? Have you ever noticed how the old footballers wore these great heavy boots with nailed-in studs? Huge, heavy things. Do you ever notice how these socks with these huge shin guards around their legs? Have you ever noticed how long and strong and baggy the pants are? And have you ever noticed how long and thick with great big collars the shirts are? And have you noticed how heavy and soggy those balls could get? and how muddy and thick those pitches could be. And then they contrast it with today. And let me tell you this. I can't tell you who. You probably know. Liverpool are on the verge of trying to get a contract deal. You know, they go to get millions, to get different shirts. Do you know, have you noticed what happens? Do you know what happens? The shirts are getting thinner. And the shirts are getting tighter. And the shorts are getting tighter. And the socks are getting lighter. And the boots are getting lighter. And the pitches are getting better. And the balls are getting lighter. Why? Because it aids their mobility. It aids their flexibility. Soon you won't be able to pull a shirt off his back. And so it is. Here's the belt of connection, connecting all the points, giving us stability, giving us mobility, giving us freedom when we live in the truth and speak the truth. Remember what David said? Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who will dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth from his heart. How important is speaking the truth? Remember, it was Jesus who spoke the truth to the enemy of our souls. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that word is a word of truth. And it connects us together. It gives us that stability. It gives us that mobility. It gives us that freedom. What's more, listen to this. Hanging on that belt, connected to that belt, was the sword and the sheath it would go in. And connected to that belt was a sheath for a dagger and maybe for another weapon they could pull out. Not only so, according to historians, onto that belt, they would put emblems or badges, sort of the victories that they had won. Not only so, sometimes as the belt was connected round the shoulders, they would, when they're walking, sometimes even hang their shield on that belt. And so it was a belt of connection. What's more, it connects us with the God of all truth and with the power of truth in the lives, in the battle against the enemy of our souls, that murderer and liar from the beginning. Number three, it's a belt of conviction. When our Lord Jesus Christ was praying, he was praying for his church. And in John chapter 17, he was praying for the church that was then and the church which is now. He prayed a profound and deep prayer. And in John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus, the Son of God, said this, "Sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth." If you want to know how to be sanctified, if you want to know how to be separate from the world, if you want to know how to be devoted to God, if you want to know how to have liberty in your soul, if you want to know how to walk the narrow way, if you want to know how to overcome the evil one, then you need this belt of conviction that God's word is truth. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of faith may be perfect, fully furnished unto every good work." That word perfect means complete. How are we going to be complete? Or else it means mature. How are we going to be mature? It also means equipped. Equipped to face the world and the flesh and the devil. How are we going to be equipped, mature, perfect, stable? How? By the truth. The truth which is inspired of God. Contained in the Old and New Testaments. This conviction that God's word is true. Therefore, if God's word is truth, then that means that you and I would read it every day. You know, the children often sing profound words which you and I could learn an awful lot from. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. No one who is serious about their Christian faith, no one who is serious about opposing the opponent of our souls, no one who is serious about walking the right and narrow path will neglect the duty and privilege of having a Bible in your own language and taking and making time to read the Bible every day. I remember making as a motto, no Bible, no breakfast. I'm one of these people who gets up, bing, at 20 to 5. You may not be. I'm not saying you have to read it every morning, although I'm telling you now, it's a great habit to get into. But read it at some time every day when you're alert, because that will equip you. Do you remember what David said? Hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Remember what David said? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How am I going to walk in this darkness without the lamp and the light? How am I going to oppose the enemy of darkness without the lamp and light of the truth? How will I do it? I must have the conviction that this book will equip us in this battle, in this fight against the powers of darkness, against the devil, against his cohorts. So make this your conviction and be complete and equipped and ready. The conviction that your word is true. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Because it's the belt of conviction that God's word is true. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Fourthly and lastly, this is a belt of consecration. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, he reached chapter 13 and verse 14 and he said this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Here we are told in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God. Actually, the Apostle Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Do you remember what John wrote? In John chapter 1, verse 14, speaking about the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, in the beginning is the Word, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He went on in verse 14 to say this, and the Word, this living Word, this Logos, even our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace, full of grace and truth. Amazing. Remember what our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said in John chapter 14, when He's about to go away. Remember what He said to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I shall come again and receive you to myself. By the time He gets down to verse 6, after Thomas has questioned Him, He says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. It's a belt of consecration where we consecrate our lives to the person and work of Him who is the living Word. Because when we are in Christ And Christ is in us. And when we're devoted to putting on Christ, in living for Him who is the truth, then all sorts of things will happen. I've told you that I endeavor every single day to consciously, deliberately, and prayerfully to put on every piece of the armor of God in prayer. When it comes to the truth, the belt of truth, help me be like Jesus, who is the truth. Help me obey the word of God, which is the truth. Deliver me from lies, from half-truth, from exaggeration, from hyperbole, from white lies. Deliver me from them. I wonder if you'd like to have a little exercise. Why don't you open up your Bible at the book of Proverbs for a minute? Just for a minute. And we'll have a little exercise, shall we, together. First of all, just listen to what some of the many verses in Proverbs say. Let's turn to chapter 6 and verse 16. Here's practical warning. It says this: there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes. Ever seen that? Proud, arrogant people. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. Turn over the page to Proverbs in chapter 12 and listen to verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 12. Turn over the page to chapter 16 and verse 13. Righteous lips are a delight to the king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. Isn't that amazing? Just some of the many verses found in the book of Proverbs. If you liked, just look back to the book of Ephesians again. Come to Ephesians and chapter 4 and verse 22. Listen to this. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Verse 21, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Listen, when we put on this belt of consecration and we're seeking to put on the living word, even our Lord Jesus Christ, we want to obey the written word. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? And we want to bridle the spoken word. We want to bridle the spoken word. I remind you, every Christian you know, without exception, has a problem with lies. Abraham, the friend of God, lied. Jacob, who had his name changed to Israel, lied. David, the man after God's own heart, lied. The prophets lied. They did. Peter lied. He did. Why? Because it's a master tool of the enemy of our souls, so he's ready to trip us up. It's our Achilles heel. Therefore, we must be careful and prayerful about the words which we use. Now, I told you this morning, some of you are sick of it. I'm very sorry about it. My mother died when I was 13. She was ill from when I was 7. I therefore remember almost everything, including the cigarettes she smoked, including the Encyclopedia Britannica she read to me, including the poetry she recited to me, and including the lessons she taught me. I came in one day, told her a lie. She knew about it straight away. Straight away. She said to me, "Oh, what a tangled web you weave when first you practice to deceive." Listen, son, if you want to be a good liar, you'll have to be a good, you'll have to have a good memory. Lies are the cancer of the soul. She also did something very practical. She took a big green bar of carbolic soap. She said, I'm telling you now, if I hear you lie again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with this carbolic soap. How important is that? Friends, hate lies as much as you hate the devil. And when he trips you up, put it right. Tell the truth. Have nothing to hide. Have nothing to fear. Have nothing to prove. Honesty, said my mother, is the best policy. How true that is. And you and I, if we put on the belt of contention, and the belt of connection, and the belt of conviction, and the belt of consecration, and walk in the Spirit, and be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and live in the Spirit, and put on Christ, then we will stand against the wiles of the devil. Let's stand and sing.
Is your strength and Christ your might. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run bless your grace by God's grace. Lift up your eyes and seek His face. And in it
conformed to the image of Him who is the truth. We want to be controlled by the truth of your word and the truth of your Spirit controlling us. Hear us, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we come to this table of the Lord, this speaks of truth, the truth of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken that you might be made whole. The truth of shed blood, blood which makes the foulest clean, whose blood can avail for you. The truth which brings us through his death and resurrection into union with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Let's eat this bread with solemnity and with joy. For I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." His body broken in my stead is seen in this communion bread. Feed on him by faith, who is the bread of life. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Wherefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself, then let him eat of this bread and drink of this cup. We'll retain the cup and drink together, symbolizing our union with Christ and our communion and fellowship one with the other. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It is cleansing blood. It is redeeming blood. It is justifying blood. It is precious blood. Blood which makes the foulest clean, whose blood avails for me. For what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me clean within? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and goes on cleansing us from all sin. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Let's drink together and be thankful. If some of you would like to lead in a sentence of praise for all that God in Christ has done for our souls. Amen. 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 He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own, and bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Father, we thank you that the murderer from the beginning, the liar and the father of lies, is defeated by him who is the King of kings and Lord of all and the God of all truth. And we bless you that our lies and half-truths have been nailed to the cross and we bear them no more. So we pray that the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ would enable us to live and walk and behave in the truth. Hear as we pray and dismiss us with grace, mercy, and peace in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with us this evening. God bless you. Please, if there's anything you want to talk to me about, then please come and ask me. I'm around. Don't let the enemy of our souls snatch the word away. have some tea and coffee, won't you, please? And God bless you. Asked about being baptized. If you'd like to be baptized, just come and ask me for a book and read it through, and then we'll meet up another time. Thank you.